Y'all, it is officially here. Start a Binge-Worthy podcast is out in the world, and I am just so blown away by the support and encouragement and all the fantastic things that this community has done to show up for me during this book launch. I am so grateful. So if you are interested in learning more about my brand new book, Start a Binge-Worthy Podcast, a step-by-step guide to creating a podcast your audience craves, make sure you go order your copy at thebestpodcastbook.com. And while you're there, make sure you register for the free bonus that we have for anyone that orders the book. So again, go to thebestpodcastbook.com to grab your copy today. Okay. I have got a special treat for you today. I'm so excited about the interview that I had that I'm sharing with you today, because we talked about all things digital marketing, having a website, SEO, and things that I didn't even know that Google Analytics and Google Console did on the back end, like so many things. So let's get right to it.
Welcome to the Profit Podcast, where we teach entrepreneurs how to start, launch, and market their podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Profit, and I'm so excited that you're here. Thanks for hanging out with me today, because if you've been trying to figure out the world of podcasting, think of this show as the time-saving shortcut you've been looking for. So let's get right to it, shall we?
So like I said in the beginning, I am really, really excited to share with you today's interview episode that I did with Ryan Cote. Like, I'm just really excited because whenever I was first approached with Ryan as a guest for the podcast, which, by the way, shout out to Interview Valet, because they always like say, hey, we have a great guest that we think would really align with your show. And it never fails that the people they refer to me are always spot on with my podcast. So shout out, go to interviewvalet.com to check them out because they're amazing. I also have an interview episode that I did with Tom Schwab. He's one of the founders of Interview Valet, and they're incredible. If you're looking to guest on other podcasts, absolutely check them out. But they sent me Ryan's information, and I remember looking at, you know, who he is and what he does. And oh my gosh, the thing that stood out to me was Ryan has a very cool story about how he got into the digital marketing and the things that he's done. And he actually works for a family-owned company that is doing really cool things online. So in our interview, he shares a little bit about his own journey, and we totally geek out on some tech stuff that I know it won't be too over your head, but Ryan just really knows his stuff. And so whenever they were giving me Ryan's information, they were like, okay, like here are all the things that Ryan knows really well. And I just knew, I was like, I've got to pick his brain about SEO and websites, because this is something that new podcasters often struggle with when they're getting up and going. And I can't wait for you to hear all the things that we talked about. So here is my interview with Ryan Cote.
All right, Profit Podcast listeners, I'm so excited to bring to you Ryan today. So Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Crystal, happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. So Ryan, you are a fellow marketing nerd, and I love this so much, and I cannot wait to dive into all the ways that you've learned marketing and that you practice it every day in your business. But can you tell everybody a little bit about how you are in the online space and what you do and all the things?
Sure. Yeah. So I went to school for marketing. I'm now partners at my family's marketing agency. I had some other marketing jobs outside of college, so I didn't go immediately into the family business. But even going back to college, I think maybe in high school, probably college, I had eBay sites, I had e-commerce stores, I was starting to learn SEO, I was dabbling in affiliate marketing. So I've always had like interest in online marketing, and then, you know, majored in it And now I'm in it every day in my family's marketing agency. And so my responsibility is the digital side of our business. So all the online marketing stuff, we do direct mail too, but I don't have anything to do with that. So it's been, marketing's been my life, online marketing's been my life since like 2000, 1999, roughly.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So of course I have to ask, because you've been doing it since, you know, early 2000, what has been the biggest game changer that you've seen that's hit, like from people being able to build websites, or is there a certain cool tool that you like to use? Like, what's the one thing that you're just like, oh man, when this came on the scene, like it just changed the whole game?
I mean, obviously the phone, but I also, I'm just thinking of WordPress. That was a game changer. All the different tools that have come out over the years. There's so many cool tools to do online marketing, from keyword research to seeing what topics are trending on social media. So we have all these entrepreneurs that build these tools that make our job a little easier. So I would say those things.
Yeah. Well, I specifically wanted to talk to you about websites, because our audience here, everybody listening, is either in the process of creating a podcast, or they just launched their show, or maybe they're within the first 2 years of their podcast. And I urge everybody to have a website. And most people kind of cringe up and they think, that just sounds way too technical. Like, I barely am figuring out this podcasting stuff. Why would I ever have a website? So can you kind of speak to the importance of having one today? And is it easier to create one now than it was a few years ago?
It's definitely important to have, because it's sort of your home. You know, it's your home for all your marketing. It's the one thing you have full control over, in addition to your email list. And so I always recommend it, also because as you create your website, you put content on there, well, then that content can start to rank and bring you new visitors and a bigger audience for your podcast and for your services and products. And so you definitely want to have a website that you can control, that you can build, that you can market. It's not, you know, is it easier a few years ago? I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, there's other website builders that have come out. I always recommend WordPress because it's the most flexible. It might seem overwhelming when you first log into WordPress, and I'm talking about the hosted version of WordPress, not WordPress.com, but WordPress.org. Most hosts nowadays, they offer one-click installation for WordPress, and so it makes it very easy to install. And then once you get in there, it might seem complicated, but it's really not. You've got your posts, you've got your pages, you've got your plugins. You have to have the site designed, which there's a kabillion WordPress designers out there, and so it's not overly complicated. I think once you spend a little bit of time on it, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, I think that there's probably a few people listening right now and they're like, okay, so websites, and then you mentioned something about ranking. Can you go a little bit more into what that actually means? Because I think that there's some confusion on how to actually rank, because it's a little bit more complex than just putting a random thought out there on the internet, and then it's going to show up as the number one thing in Google. So can we talk a little bit more about what it means to actually rank on search engines?
Sure. Yeah. So ranking on the search engines, it means that when someone's doing a keyword search, that your site is one of the choices to choose from, one of the, you know, the search result listings. And so someone does a keyword search, whatever it is, fresh fruit. I'm not sure why that came up first in my mind, but fresh fruit. And then maybe your blog or your whatever is one of the first choices. Now, how you do that, it's, you know, there's a whole, that's called the search engine optimization. And we can talk about that. There's a whole series of things, but you want to rank for keywords because there's high commercial intent behind that person, meaning that they're looking for something. Now they might be looking for information. They might be looking for a product or a service, but they are looking for something. So you want to be one of the choices, because if you've got your podcast and you've got your website, your show notes and all that, if it starts ranking for keywords, it's a one way that people can find out more about you and hopefully become a part of your audience.
Okay. And I love the way that you just kind of laid it out as, like, you know, you have your show notes, you have these show notes hosted on your website, which is a fantastic way. And it's what I teach whenever we talk about doing websites. It's like, this is why you should have independent show notes for your podcast, so that you can rank on Google and other search engines. But whenever I start talking about the process of keyword research and really digging into SEO, that's when people glaze over, because they're like,
you lost me. Like, I don't, like, I understand keywords that I'd like to rank for, but how do I know which ones I should actually choose? Is there a strategy behind that? So if someone were to ask you, what would you tell them?
Yep. For keyword research, that's where the tools come into play. I can tell you the ones that we use. We're not affiliated with them, but I can just throw out a few that are good. There's Google's ad keyword planner. If you have a Google Ads account, you have the keyword planner, which is pretty good. You've got Uber Suggests, which is really inexpensive. And it's a really good keyword research tool. You've got SEMrush. You've got Ahrefs. A lot of these tools do a lot more than just keyword research. There's Keyword Longtail Pro. There's a whole ton. If you just type in keyword research tool, there are tools that just do keyword research. And so basically what you're looking for is you're looking for a tool that will show you, okay, you put in your root keyword, fresh fruit again, I guess, and then it'll spit out all keywords that are related to fresh fruit, that contain fresh fruit, that are related, and then how many people search for them per month, how competitive they are for SEO. Because, I mean, the honest truth is that some keywords are just, you're never going to rank for them. Unless you have like a 15-year time frame, you know, to get there. But it'll show you how competitive the keywords are. So you want to start with one of those tools. And I would also install Google Search Console on your website, verify your site, I should say, in Google Search Console. Because with that, that also becomes sort of like a keyword research tool, because what that will do is, it does a bunch of things. One of the things it does is it shows you how people are finding your site. So there's a tab for what they call queries, which is the same thing as keywords. And it'll tell you, okay, in the month of August, you were found for these keywords. You showed up this many times for this keyword and you got these many clicks. They don't give you all the data and it's very bare bones, but it's showing you actual keywords that are generating traffic to your site, as opposed to keyword research tools, which it's just like you're just doing research for keywords. And why you'd want to use Search Console, I feel like this is a very long answer, but I'm going to wrap it up here.
No, it's great.
The reason why you'd want to use Search Console is because it'll show you what Google is actually ranking you for. And sometimes you'll see a really good keyword on like position two or three or four. I'm sorry, page two or three or four. And so Google sort of likes to do for that keyword, but it just needs a little bit of a push. And so you can focus on keywords that you're almost there, you know, but not quite. And so there's different ways to go about it, but that's what I would say.
I love this. So I actually, because I've used Google Analytics for a very long time. So can you explain to someone who understands Google Analytics versus the Search Console? Because with the analytics, I can see, you know, like so many people search for this thing, but is it a totally separate thing or would you use like the data from both of these places together?
So good question. With Google Analytics, a lot of the keywords are not visible anymore. I can't remember how long ago it was. It was years. I don't remember exactly how many, but they used to show you all the keywords that people would find your site through organically, how many conversions each keyword had, all this data on a per keyword basis. And then they years ago, they stopped doing that for like privacy reasons. And so now it's all lumped under not provided. You still get some keyword data from other search engines, but it's very limited. If you look at your search, if you look at your analytics, most of it's not provided. And that's where Search Console comes in. So they give you the keyword data in Search Console. What they don't give you is this keyword converted this many times, this keyword, it's very limited data, but it's still data. And you can connect Search Console and Google Analytics together. So you have one place to look into. It doesn't change the data. Just then you have one place to look. And that's easy. It's under, go to admin, under settings somewhere in there to connect your Search Console to your analytics. And then you'll have all that data in Google Analytics. So you don't have to bounce around two spots.
Oh, that's so good. That's a very good tip. I'm actually going to go do that after we're done. Cause I've been looking at them, the two separately. And like you said, using them for two very different reasons. I would typically do Google Analytics to find like where people are actually finding my site and then the Search Console to see which ones I'm ranking for. But I want to go back to the very beginning of someone who is just thinking about podcasting, right? Like they're just kind of like baby stepping into the process. At what point in the podcast creation process should they start looking at keywords? Is this something that they should do like
Should I create a podcast episode specifically around this one keyword that I found that I know I could rank for or kind of rank for? Or should I just create an episode and then hope that I can twist it into what that keyword is for? Does that make sense?
It does. It's another good question. And there's a couple of different ways you can go about it. What I would say is, what I like to recommend is, so you have your website with your show notes, but I would also have a blog on top of that as well. So you're blogging about whatever information is your business is about, and then you have your show notes blogs that are going live. So you have your informational blog post where you're doing keyword research from post number one, start doing keyword research, and then you've got your show notes. I don't know if I would do keyword research before, because I feel like at a certain point, it becomes too SEO-ish, where if everything revolves around keywords, then you're just not letting your show flow organically. It becomes like, okay, now they're trying to do an episode on whatever keyword, and it just becomes very artificial. What I would say is have a website where you have your blog and your show notes page, all the same website. Do keyword research on the blog from post number one. Before you start writing a blog, know what you want to write about. And then for the show notes page, whatever, like for this conversation, you could do keyword research around like SEO and whatever. And so let the guests speak about what they want to speak about, and then do keyword research to find the best keyword that will match up to what the guest spoke about. Does that make sense?
I don't know. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I'm just sitting here thinking that, and you're absolutely right. I think it sucks the fun out of it. If you're just like, okay, I have to say this keyword this many times and I have to write it in. And then like, it takes the creativity out of the process. If you're just trying to focus on, I just got to rank. Like it really sucks the creative fun out of creating a podcast. So I'm so glad that you said that, because I think that there's some people out there with clenched fists. Like, I just don't know. This still sounds a little overwhelming. And I think that you just gave them a very gracious gift in saying, I think that it's important, but it's not the main focus of what your podcast should be about. But so should we have, as content creators, like a running list of keywords that we're working off of? How often should we do keyword research? Is this something that we can do from quarter to quarter or month to month? Or should we do it every single time we create a piece of content?
I would, you could really do all of the above. I would have a list of your top priority keywords that you want to focus on, because you'll let your show flow naturally and you'll do keyword research for the show note pages, but you'll let those topics flow naturally. But that's when you have your blog posts, more informational pieces of content, and that could target the keywords. So I would come up with a list of keywords, doesn't matter how long, and then that will dictate the content calendar you create for the blogs. And then maybe this website also has, if you sell courses or your services, of course, those are going to have pages and those are going to need to be keyword optimized. So I would start off by getting a list of keywords, but then, you know, you can always revisit that every quarter and just add new keywords because your business might change. There's different ways to go about this. It's sort of like ebbs and flows, but I would start out by doing keyword research, identify your top keywords that will then dictate the content you create for your blog posts, and then go from there.
No, that's so awesome. And I think that there was a lot of people that are like, okay, like this is doable. I can do it. And we're going to link to all the tools that you talked about for keyword research. That way people can just get started. And that's what I would recommend. If you are listening to this, you probably have a topic that your podcast is centered around, and start just looking at some of those keyword tools and seeing what could you possibly rank for. But I want to switch directions for a second, because I know that your business works with other small businesses, and I wanted to ask, what's been the biggest challenge that you have seen for someone who is trying to take an existing business and bring it online, whether it's a brick and mortar that they've already had, or if they've just been working with people one-on-one and they're like, okay, I think I want to broaden my horizons to creating a digital course or offering other types of services. So what is the biggest challenge that you've seen someone having bringing their online business or bringing their business online?
So to be honest, most of the clients that we work with, they already have an online business, but I do see challenges in that. Because honestly, the online space, it's so saturated. There's so many things, and it's overwhelming for me sometimes, because like, how do you know everything between social media and the platforms? Now my daughters are on TikTok. What's TikTok? Okay. You know, it's always changing. And so I think it's very easy to get overwhelmed. So I always recommend just focusing on specific channels. I mean, literally this website we're talking about with the keyword research and the blogs, that literally is like one channel and you can focus on that and probably do very well. But then you naturally, once you have the website and the blog content and the podcast going, well, then you naturally can evolve into social media fairly quickly because you have the shows to promote, you have the content to promote, you have your products and services to promote, your courses. And so then you naturally evolve to that. But even when you're on social media, you know, try to stick to one or two channels. Don't try to tackle them all because you'll be mediocre at all of them instead of great at one or two. And so I would say that's like the overwhelm, and overwhelm is very common with clients when they're trying to go online.
So what would you say are like the two most important things for someone? Because we have a lot of people in our audience right now that maybe have a 9-to-5 job and they're thinking of branching out and trying to start their online business. What would be the two things that you would recommend they focus on first when they're starting their online business?
I would definitely say content and probably SEO. I would like to say social media too. I guess we could lump the, let me revise my answer. I'm going to say SEO/content because I kind of look at content as SEO now. You know, when we sell our services, we very, very rarely break them apart. It's usually content and SEO together because they really are together now. Maybe 10 years ago, it wasn't that way. And then social media would be the next thing because you have to, especially as a podcast host, you want to build up your authority and get your content out there and make more people aware of you. And so, you know, you need content to do that, but you also need the platform, which is, yes, your podcast and your website, but it's also social media. So I would say SEO/content and then social media.
Well, I know everybody's going to ask this, which social media platform should I focus on? If you're saying we just got to focus on one, which one should we focus on?
Well, it depends on the podcast, but I would say Instagram probably. I mean, I go back, I mean, I like Facebook too, because their advertising platform is so strong and Facebook owns Instagram, but Instagram, it's so popular. It's tends to be a little bit easier because you're taking photos. I know you could argue that point, but I think it's a very visual platform too, which helps make the connection with your audience. So I would say Instagram if I had to pick just like one. Now, if you have a business, heavy business podcast, excuse me, then maybe I would say LinkedIn. But generally speaking, if I just choose one, I would say Instagram.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, and I think that you're absolutely right. I agree. It just depends on the podcast. It depends on the audience because some people may perform amazing on Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter in years. Right. I have no business being on Twitter because I just don't. I don't get it. I never got it from the beginning. And I always get flack from my husband and my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law who they've always loved it. And I'm like, it's not for me. It's not something that I enjoy. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't love Instagram, I love Facebook, then that's probably where you should be. And like Ryan said, it's more about focusing on what you're good at and being really good at one of those social media platforms and growing your audience on there to reach them. But I wanted to ask, so it's been an insane year, right? Everybody knows it's been totally crazy. And I have found that a lot of people who weren't in the online business world 6 or 7 months ago are now trying to get into this space now. So what have you seen as like on the back end side of everything, the biggest changes in the last 6 months whenever it comes to having an online business?
Yeah. So on the digital side for Ballantine, we work with a lot of like manufacturers and contractors. That's our sweet spot. So what I've seen on that front is a lot of these manufacturers that have their product, they want to make them e-commerce because they want to sell on their website. So that's, I'm noticing like we're getting a lot more requests for that. Like they've got their website, which was traditionally like you probably hear my daughter playing her recorder in the background. so you've got, their website, which is traditionally a brochure website for lead generation. And now they're looking to keep it that way, but also add an e-commerce functionality to it. So people can buy. What I will say is we don't do a lot with e-commerce, just a tiny, tiny bit, But I have read that like Shopify and those like online store builders are just like kaboom, like exploding. I haven't seen stats on podcasts, but I have to guess those are exploding as well.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because at the beginning, stats totally dropped off in March and April because a lot of people weren't commuting anymore. And that was when they were typically listening to a lot of podcasts. So from Buzzsprout, that's the podcast host that I use, they were saying that listenership really tanked for a while, but now it's back up to where it was because everyone's kind of found their new routine. Ryan and I were actually talking about routines. We're so ready to get back into new routines, you know, with kids going back to school and, you know, hopefully, you know, we can find a new normal for us. But that's kind of what happened in podcasting. But I have seen an explosion of new people on the scenes with online businesses and, it's just been interesting. It's been such an interesting, just kind of watching everything on the sidelines to see what happens. But I wanted to actually go back to what you were saying about Instagram, because it made me think about SEO. And you said something about pictures. And I thought, oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you, how do pictures on your website translate to better SEO rankings? I know that sounds like a really random question, but I just remembered that I really wanted to ask you about that.
No, it is random, but it's a good question. So, so it helps a few ways. So you've got, so you can, like when you pick your keywords, there's different places you put the keywords, title tag, meta description, the content, the body of the content body. And then you can also put it in alt, what's called the alt tag. And that's the tag behind the image. It tells the search engines what that image is about. And so you definitely want to make sure your keyword is your images are keyword optimized in that alt tag. And then Google will look at like what content's around the image, the file name, of course. But then what happens is you have a chance of like sometimes Google will inject images into the search results, like at usually at the top. And so you might get traffic that way. Google has their own image search engine, so you can get traffic if your images get ranked in the image search engine of Google. And then lastly, a big part of SEO, because SEO has evolved a lot back 2005, it was really all about 2005 through like 9 or 10. It was all about links, just getting links back to your site. It's all you need to do. Didn't matter how bad they were, just more the better. That all changed. And now with SEO, it's all, there's a lot of different things that go into it. And one of the things that goes into it is when someone comes onto your site, like how long do they stay for? What's like called their dwell time? How many pages do they go to? And so one way to improve that is images, videos. So how, when someone comes to your website, the page, does it keep them? Does it engage them? If it's like a wall of text with no images, they're going to just bounce out of there very quickly. But if they come to the page and they see it's well spaced out, that it's easy to skim the content, you've got images, you've got a video, maybe your podcast player, you know, the embed for the player, you got all these different things, there's a better chance of them sticking around a little bit. And that, over time, will just translate into more SEO. It's not going to be like a game changer overnight, but just a compound effect of that month after month, it'll start to help your SEO.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm glad that you hinted on, you know, having your embedded player, because that's normally what I tell people is like, hey, you know, with your show notes, put your embed player at the top or at least in the middle, somewhere where it will catch someone's eye. And hopefully they'll start playing it. And if someone were to listen to a 30-minute episode directly there on your website, would that essentially help bring up your SEO rankings?
Yeah, that definitely will. It's because, you know, Google's going to see that they're on the site for a longer period of time. So yeah, it definitely will help. It's the same thing like a video. It's the same reason why videos help, because it keeps them on the site. So the same difference with the embed player.
Okay, this is awesome. Oh, this is so good. And I just feel like such a nerd about SEO and asking about keywords. So we're not going to make this all about keywords and SEO, because I could just ask you so many more questions, Ryan. But I want to know a little bit more about your company and the types of clients that y'all serve and some of the success stories that your business has had, because y'all been doing this for a while. So I want to hear a little bit more about what kind of services y'all offer.
Sure. I appreciate what you said about the nerdy thing, because I'm talking on this. I'm hearing myself speak. I'm like, oh man, this is like nerdville here, you know?
Oh no, it's good. You're in good company.
All right. So Valentine, we go back to the mid-60s. My great uncle started the company in 66. And then my grandfather joined in 68, my dad in 78, uncle 84. And then it's fast forward to today. It's myself, my two brothers, my uncle that are partners in the agency. And we do, we're in New Jersey, and we do both direct mail marketing. So the stuff you get in your mailbox, we work with typically large companies that do a lot of it, and they help because the printing side, you get, it's funny, you get that piece of mail in your inbox, in your mailbox. And it's, most people have no idea what goes into actually getting that piece printed, designed, printed, imaged, mailed, personalized, all that, and then delivered into your mailbox. There's this whole stream of steps that happen before. So we do direct mail, and then we do digital marketing. So on the digital side, it's SEO, paid search, social media content, a little bit of web development. And we typically work with contractors and manufacturers. That's like a lion's share of our clients, manufacturers and contractors.
And are they mostly local to where y'all are in New Jersey? Are they all over the world? Are they just in the US? Or how, what does your typical clientele look like?
Oh, they used to be just, and then they used to be very close to the office, and then coronavirus hit. Now we are video chat experts. And so now we're, and people are just more open to it. So our last two clients, I think we got, were not, you know, they were far away. I think one was in Georgia. I mean, still East Coast, but so, we, you know, we're expanding our footprint.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Ryan, this was such a fun conversation, and I want to switch gears again one more time. Are you up for some rapid fire questions?
Ooh, hopefully my brain is. I am. Whether or not my brain is, I don't know. Hopefully I'll make a fool out of myself here.
That's okay. We normally will say rapid fire, and then they end up being a lot longer. So whatever you got is going to work for this.
Okay.
So my first question is, what advice would you give to a brand new podcaster or content creator?
Have a long-term mindset. Commit to it for a while before you, you know, throw in the towel or decide it's not for you, because it's going to take time. See that with podcasting, see that with blogging. It just takes a while to build that, build up that momentum and see the results you want.
That's good. That's a really good one. Okay. If we're going to imagine for a second that you have an amazing podcast. Now, who would be your dream podcast guest?
Does the person have to be alive?
No.
Okay. So I'm a big personal development nut. I actually started my own blog and podcast like literally a month ago. So I'm reminding myself to have a long-term mindset, but Jim Rohn, do you know Jim Rohn? Have you heard of him?
Yep.
Like personal development. I just like the way he speaks too. I feel like I want him to like read me bedtime stories, cause he's got like this, this voice, you know, and it's like, I like to listen to like his advice is good. His delivery, the way he pronounces his words. It's I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So this is a two-part question. The second part is, what's the dream podcast you would love to be on?
All right. So dream podcast. So another person I listen to is Ed Milet. He's in the personal development space. I don't know if you've heard of him before. I think I'd like to be on his podcast. I'd like to meet him and, be on his podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. And my last question is, do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I do not. No, I do not. No, I mean, I want things to be good, of course, but I definitely do not agonize over the details. I forget what the phrase is. It's something like almost there is better than not done at all or something like that. Or I can't remember if it's, that's the basic gist of it. So I'm definitely not a perfectionist. I try to do things well, but I don't agonize over the details.
That's awesome. Well, Ryan, this was so awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. So if someone was listening and they're like, I want to learn more about Ryan and his company, where could they find you?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm definitely LinkedIn. So Ryan Cote, COTE, and then ballantine.com. It's spelled like the beer, but no connection. ballantine.com. Thank you. Awesome. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Okay. So what'd you think? I mean, I know we went through like a few like super techy, really nerdy, like website analytics, SEO, but oh my gosh, y'all, these are the questions I get asked over and over again. And today's interview was actually a perfect example of being able to take advantage whenever you have an expert on your show, really pick their brain. I mean, I asked questions on there that were legitimate questions that I had whenever I started my podcast and some that I continue to have to this day. And I love being able to speak to an expert about this and not just rely on, you know, the next thing that pops up in my social media feed, right? Like they say it's fact, but I'm like, no, this person, Ryan, has been able to do this and built a very successful business with taking these approaches with digital marketing. So I'm so grateful he came on the show today. Make sure you go check out the show notes and learn more about Ballantine and more about Ryan's company. Again, like I said, it's a family-owned company and they are really making waves in the digital marketing space. And I'm excited for what they do. But the show notes for this episode can be found at crystalprofit.com/episode200. Yes, we are here. This is officially the 200th episode of the podcast. I'm so excited. If you're listening to this in real time, don't forget, we're right in the middle of a giveaway, which actually ends very soon. It ends on October 30th, 2020. So if you have not entered the giveaway, make sure you go to crystalprofit.com/giveaway because we're giving away some really cool prizes. If you're listening to this later in the future, I'm sorry that giveaway has ended, but don't worry, because I want to start doing more fun giveaways just like this in the future. But again, to learn more about Ryan and his company and all the amazing tips and strategies that he shared with us today, go to crystalprofit.com/episode200. And if this is your first time tuning in, I would love for you to subscribe to the show. Make sure you leave a rating and a review. You can leave a 1 to 5 star rating. And for the review, you can tell us the number one takeaway that you've had or the favorite episode that you're just like, oh my gosh, like it just blew my mind, whatever we shared in that episode. But I would so appreciate those ratings and reviews. That's what helps our content get pushed out in front of other podcast listeners. But remember, keep it up. We all have to start somewhere.